today on Business and Finance, we're talking interest rate projections, the housing market, and Clive Palmer. My guest tonight is Shane Wright. He's a senior economics correspondent for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. Shane, welcome.
Good evening, Marvellous Cavallis.
Things are busy there in the Parliament, mate.
They certainly are. In fact, the Manager of Opposition Business is about to go talk about what's gone on in the House, and then the Prime Minister will be opining on his views not long after that. There is plenty to be said in that space, but, you know, me, the economy's still front and centre for so much.
Of course. I will get you, because you're good on the politics too, so I just will ask you another question on the events of today. Is there a chance of a snap election? I mean, the government has just lost a historic vote in the House of Representatives.
I would think that if I believed that the government was ready to run an election, but they're not. Mm. This actually goes a fair bit to the timing of the budget, remember, which has been brought forward to the first week of April, and the government actually needs that budget to put in some, let's say, election sweeteners to get people over the line, or they hope to get them over the line. And if they don't do that, then they're actually beholden to what Treasury comes up in terms of forecasts for the budget. And given what's going on in the economy, those forecasts are unlikely to be conducive to going out saying the economy's in great shape and that everything's swimming. That's a major problem. And given we just had the Prime Minister gave a speech this week about security, and we went to the issue of security of the economy, that may be a problem.
All right, let's talk about the economy. You're good at that. NAB has changed its forecast on interest rates. They've said they predict the Reserve Bank will keep them on hold for an extended period. What's prompted this change in forecast?
Because, like the NAB's economics team, along with most others, are getting increasingly concerned about the state of the economy. And this, the NAB has a closely watched business survey that comes out every month. And to say that the world of retail is bleak would be an indictment against something like Bleak House. I think it's got very tough. Any retailer will tell you that Christmas was particularly poor, and it's kicked in probably around November or late October. Things started to slide in that area, and this is also related to what's going on in the housing market as well. So NAB, which the NAB economists were thinking, right, the RBA might lift rates sometime next year, have pushed that off until possibly the next time Carlton wins a premiership. It's that far off. In fact, they've suggested the next move may be a cut second half of this year. Now, if you remember that the government, when it was in opposition, complained about emergency interest rates at 3%. We're now at 1.5%. If you were to cut to 1.25%, that would be telling you that the economy is going in the wrong direction, not the right one.
So let's go to the housing market, which is one of the indicators really of the economy. And it seems home loan lending in Australia has taken a notable hit over December. Was that expected?
No, and that's why there's also been this concern about what's going on. The number of home loans written fell about 6% in the month, and over the last 12 months down the best part of 20%, which is, we haven't seen that sort of drop off at an annual level since the depths of the GFC. So, and more of a worry, particularly if you're from the federal government, is that first home buyers, the number of first home buyers, and they'd been really helping prop up the bottom end of the market. The number of first home buyers fell by 8% in the month. They're down, I think it's about 12% now through the year. So that proportion of people who were the ones coming in because stupid house prices were coming off. They're not quite so stupid. They're still, let's say, at the silly phase. These were the people who are thinking, right, I can get into the market. But if they're not coming into the market, investor lending is down. It's effectively halved over the last 3 years. Then you've got a real sign that the housing market is in for an extended period in the doldrums, and that's going to precipitate the Reserve Bank, which still can't get inflation into its target band, which is also worried whether falls in house prices are going to push shoppers into their shells. the major macro impact of that is whether that translates into a lift in unemployment rather than a fall in unemployment.
It's worth keeping in mind that Prime Minister Scott Morrison is scheduled to announce an early budget on the 2nd of April. Are these latest developments in interest rates and the housing market likely to be addressed in that? I mean, you know, is that where we're going to see a bit of a response to some of this?
Well, part of the, and Philip Lowe mentioned this just last week, the tax cuts that are slated to come in from July 1, they're effectively rebates for well, you can't call them low-income earners now because we're talking to people earning over $100,000 getting a little bit of tax rebate paid back to them. That issue and those tax cuts actually now seem a little too distant. That sort of money flowing through the economy would actually be a bit useful. The Reserve Bank obviously thinks they can't come fast enough. You could see, I wouldn't put it beyond the realms of possibility of a tax cut being announced in that April budget. And I wouldn't then put your house and a few others on the fact that Labor would match it, if not ramp it up a little bit further. I think we're going to see some tax cut debate in that budget.
Yeah, well, we saw that, I get all historical, but in 2007, essentially, you know, didn't we, when John Howard came out with the big tax cuts and then Labor went, yep, me too.
They did, except if you remember, they said we won't give it to the topping income earners. Mm, that was the caveat, and they were for people earning over $180,000, and Labor stuck with that. And it actually freed them up to offer other things. So you get into that whole policy argument about where you direct your tax cuts and bang for buck and whether you want to save some of those bucks for some other bangs.
We've only got a minute for this, but Clive Palmer has transferred the ownership of his company from New Zealand to Singapore as part of a, you know, bigger, grander plan. What's he trying to do here?
He was looking at New Zealand as a way to perhaps use elements of the free trade agreement that we have with New Zealand because he's in a legal dispute with the West Australian government over iron ore royalties and an iron ore mine that he part owns. And he was hoping to maybe able to use a legal remedy there to sue the West Australian government. He can't do that under the free trade agreement with New Zealand. He possibly can under the Singapore free trade agreement. So the man who says make Australia great is now moved from New Zealand to Singapore in this effort, which is a real legal argument that he's trying to fight with the West Australian government.
Shane Wright, always good to speak to you. Of course, the Prime Minister will speak soon. So much going on. Thanks for coming on.
Always a pleasure to hear your voice.